Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Welcome to our Sunday service. Can we give it up for the band today? I want to give special mention to Amaya and Levi up here, some of our young guns. Doing such a great job. And we've got such an awesome morning ahead. We have baptisms coming up, which is one of my favorite things ever. Hey, if you are still trying to find a seat, there's a few seats around. You might need to shuffle down. If you've got a seat next to you, shuffle along. There's a couple of people trying to find seats still. If you have a seat next to you, go come and sit with me, okay? It's so great to be here. My name's Pastor Az. Beck was up here before. We have the honor of leading this incredible church community, Beacon Church. And I just want to also say a massive thank you to so many over this Easter weekend that just gave up their time and energy and their service to make these services possible. Can we just give it up to everyone who... Beautiful foyer and the setup. It's just, it doesn't just happen. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart as your pastor. I'm so proud of being up here. Well, this is the day. This is the day. This is the moment we get to celebrate as Christians, the moment where Jesus rose again. And I want to get straight into the scripture, the moment where it all happens. And so if you've got your Bible with you, you can open with me or you can read on the screen. It says this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." I love this moment. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. If you put up your hand if you're a Christian, okay? Put up your hand if you're like, okay, come on, guys. Man, why are you dead like him? Like he was. Seriously, this should get you excited. Don't ever get, never let this message get old in your spirit. I love that Beck had this conversation with her nephew. How far do I have to dig to find Jesus? I'm just like, man, he's going to dig up the backyard. Who knows what sort of bones he'll pull out. That's just an old cat, mate. But I just love that question. You're not going to find him. You're not going to find him. I actually remember we went to Israel and went to the garden and went to the tomb where his body was laid for that 3 days, they say. And it was so interesting. On this trip, we were with a couple of people. I was listening to some other tour guides, around us when we were just going through Jerusalem. And there's one, I remember this person going, "So where's Jesus buried?" You know? And I'm like, "He ain't here," right? Like, it's amazing because this is the message, isn't it? They never found the body. They've never found the body. And if you have declared that you're a Christian, that means Jesus has impacted you in such a way that you just know that you know that you know he's alive. You know that you know that you know he's alive. You know, 3 years of ministry Jesus did, proclaiming that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the Savior. 3 years of ministry declaring that indeed he was the death and resurrection. Remember on Palm Sunday, I talked about Lazarus 2 weeks before Jesus went to the cross. Lazarus, his good friend, is dead. And he comes back to find that Lazarus is already long gone. He found out he was sick and he's with his sister Martha. And they're on the way to the tomb, devastated that Lazarus has died. And Jesus has a conversation. In John 11, 20 to 27, he says to her, "Lazarus, your brother, will rise again." And Martha answers, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She's like, "Jesus, I know there's life after death. Yes, he will be back." She's in mourning though. Her brother's been in a tomb for 4 days. His body is decaying. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe in me?" Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. We see that in moments later, it says that Jesus wept. He mourned the loss of his friend, but he called him out of the grave. And he took his bandages off, and everyone in that area was like, oh my gosh, he just raised a dead man. That led to his worship on Palm Sunday as he entered Jerusalem. He is the King of Kings. Nothing can bring this man down. He brought a man back to life. 1 week later, he's crucified. The crowds turn on him. But Jesus didn't just raise a dead man from the grave. He raised himself to life. He overcame sin and death. If you're going to talk about the resurrection, just do that trick, okay? Bring yourself back to life. This is the Jesus which we follow and worship. He isn't dead. He isn't in the grave. He overcame death once and for all, and that is the good news. The good news that he can do that for you in your life today. Today is about becoming a new creation, being born again. If you've entered in here today and you're not happy with your life, things are messed up and someone dragged you to church, they promised you Easter eggs after, and you're like, all right, I'll do it for the chocolate. Can I tell you there's better news than chocolate today? Like, honestly, if you entered here today, you know your life is in ruin, it's broken, it's a mess. Can I say today, you can be born again today. You can start fresh. You can be completely washed of your past. You can walk out a new creation if you want it. It's a free gift, and I'm going to say today that if you want it at the end of this service, you can have it. Because it's free for all. This is the good news. Jesus had been saying it throughout his ministry. He'd been trying to tell everyone what he was here for. He was saying, you're going to have to start a new life. You're going to have to leave your old life behind and start a new life and follow me. In John 3:2-7, the rabbi Nicodemus comes to him. He's seen miracles outpoured and he knows that he has to be more than just a man. And he says this to Jesus. It says he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that a teacher who has come, we know you're a teacher that's come from God. No one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You'll never ever see the fullness of God and what he's got for your life unless you're born again. Nicodemus replies, how can someone be born when they are old? Born again when they are old, Nicodemus asks. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Thank God that's not the process. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Jesus was saying, you need to be done with your old life. You need to die to your old life and be resurrected with him. The scriptures say when you believe in Christ, you're a new creation. And those that have had the revelation, so many of you put up your hand and said, yeah, I'm a Christian. If you had the revelation of who Jesus is, if you had the revelation that he died on that cross, but he rose again, he is still alive and active and moving today. My gosh, you know what it means to be a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, for Christ's love compels us. Man, when you've been impacted by the love of Jesus, when you know that Jesus went to the cross for you, when you know that his body was stripped naked, beaten, whipped, torn apart, crucified, bled out for you, you can't help but be compelled by that love. He did it for you, so you wouldn't have to die. He did it for you. It goes on. Because we are convinced that one died for all, that being Jesus, and therefore all died. And he died for all, for those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Today is about new beginnings, new life. The fact that Jesus rose again on the third day means that we can be forgiven for our sins once and for all, washed clean. A new start. Jesus' blood, I talked about it on Good Friday, would wash us clean once and for all. The final blood sacrifice that was needed so that we could be in relationship with God the Father. Jesus makes a way for us to be in relationship with the God that created you. How good is that? Jesus' blood was the washing that we need. We need to be washed clean. Today, like Jesus said, you need to be washed in water and spirit. Baptisms are the water element, a washing in the water. And that's going to happen later this morning. If you've never been baptized, I said in the 8, if you want to be baptized and you haven't signed up and you want to be baptized, we will put you in the pool. Walk out of here fresh, clean, washed. Be obedient to what Jesus called you out to. If you've been in church your whole life, but somehow you avoided that or missed that in your teenage years, you're like, it's a bit old. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you believe that Jesus died for you, you can get baptized today, okay? And Jesus was constantly saying to his disciples, you need to be washed. You need to be clean. You need to become a new creation. In fact, on the Thursday before the Good Friday, where Jesus was taken away by the Romans, before he was arrested and tried and crucified, Jesus is with his disciples and he wants to point out that this washing is incredibly important. John 13, 1 to 17, it says this, it was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved his disciples. The evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Can I just point this out? This is a rabbi, a teacher, a man of authority, and he's doing a job of a servant, a very lowly servant. It was the job at the front door when people have been walking all day, their feet are dusty, dirty, they've walked all through all sorts of things. They would wash their feet before they came into the house to purify them. And Jesus gets down on his knees for his disciples and washes their feet. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. He's saying, hey, this is a physical washing. You wait for the spiritual washing. You're going to understand through my blood. You're going to be washed completely. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. What a beautiful response from Simon Peter. Later on in the scripture, Jesus tells Simon Peter, no, I don't need to do that, okay, right now. But I love that Simon Peter's going, if you're going to wash me, do the whole thing. I want to be completely new. Don't leave any of my grime on me. Don't leave any of it. And I think so many of us, as we walk into church on an Easter Sunday, if you've been in church or you're Christian for years and years and years of your life, let's be honest, there's a bunch of grime still sticking and maybe we need to cry out to Jesus again and say, all of me, Lord. All of me, Lord. I don't want to hold on to anything. All of me, Lord. In this moment, Jesus shows his disciples what it means to serve those around. He came to serve and not be served. He came to love us on a love mission to save us, not to judge us. We talked about that on Friday. He gave an example to us as followers of Jesus to also serve those around us, to love unconditionally, to never be too good, to wash the feet of those in our world. As I mentioned before, Jesus is doing a physical washing, but he's alluding to a spiritual washing that would happen through his blood. That washing is so powerful, what he did on the cross. I mentioned on Friday that God, his Father, is a judge. And one day every one of us in this room will stand before God the judge. And we'll be judged based upon the things that we've done in this life. And I tell you what, that terrifies me if I think about all the sin that I've had in my life. If I was to stack up every mistake that I made, every time that I stuffed up, I tell you what, I stuff up a lot, right? Anyone with me on that? Okay, a couple of honest people in the room. Good. I mean, I stuffed up yesterday. I sat in the eight. I got to hang out with some South Africans and have a poitki. And I left early to go to see the Bronx game. Stuffed up. The Bronx lost. Bad choice. Could have been eating good South African food. But we all make little mistakes and big mistakes. And I think to myself, my gosh, if I have to stand before God one day and convince him that I'm good enough, man, I tell you what, I'm going to fail. And so will you. But it's because of the washing of the blood of Jesus that when we stand before the judge is actually not going to see our past as sin, as shame, and mistakes. All he's going to see is either you have the blood of Christ or you don't. And if you're washed in the blood of Christ, nothing else matters. You have access to God the Father, forgiven. In the eyes of God, if you have the washing of Jesus, you are pure, you are clean, you are worthy, you are the righteousness of Christ. That's the good news. Nothing that we could do can gain this. Everything that Jesus did when he died and rose again. That's why we celebrate. It is good news. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Notice it says whoever believes in him, not whoever tries to be really good. Who tries and tries and tries and does religious duty and goes to church at Easter. That's not what he wants. He wants your belief that he died and rose again, and that's enough for eternal life. Today, we're actually going to celebrate people who have, in their lifetime, come to a revelation that Jesus is who he said he was. He was the Son of God. He died on a Roman cross beside criminals. He was punished for us. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And these people today that are going to get up here and get baptized, they're saying, I'm leaving my old life behind. It's dead to me. And from this moment forward, I'm moving forward with Jesus. I'm a new creation. Then when they go into the waters of baptism, they die to their old life. And when they come up, they are resurrected with Christ, a new creation. Born in water, not only that, but with spirit as well. It sums it up in Romans 6:4. It says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Today's a new day. Today is a new day. And maybe you've never heard the good news of Jesus, but here's the thing. You are broken. You are a mess. You are a sinner. We all are. There's nothing we can do to gain acceptance of God except just accept that he died for us. That's all you have to do. Accept his love. Accept what he did on the cross, and through his death and resurrection, we can be free. The early church came alive when Peter stood up and told the people, hey, remember that Jesus you killed? He is the Son of God. And he's risen again. Imagine being the crowd that killed Jesus, and then all of a sudden Jesus is walking around again. Woo! You start getting a bit nervous, wouldn't you? But that's the gospel. It's beautiful. Jesus, after being raised again, he wasn't like, okay, now I'm going to judge you. He's like, no, I still love you. And I'm giving you time. There is actually going to be a time of judgment, but he's given you time now to come back to him freely. He said when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart when they realized they'd killed God and he'd risen again. And they said to Peter, what do we have to do? What can we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. In other words, you need to have a heartbroken moment where you say, I'm so sorry for killing you. I'm so sorry for sinning. I'm so sorry for making my life a mess. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. That's repentance. And then it says this, and be baptized. Every one of you. I'm just going to stop there. Every one of you. Not some of you. I don't know what your background is with faith and God, and maybe you were raised Catholic and you got baptized as a baby, but this is a personal decision. And it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Maybe that's hitting your heart right now going, I need to do this. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive, this is the beautiful thing, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The Holy Spirit, when these people, 3,000 of them got baptized, the Holy Spirit hit like a freight train. The Holy Spirit activated their faith, supercharged it, took them from cowards to people with strength. Took people from being ashamed or afraid of their faith to people that just declared it until they, you know, their final breath. The Holy Spirit is what you need. It happens in the moment of baptism as well. And when we baptize, we're believing for the Holy Spirit to anoint and hit every person that comes out, a new creation, to be forgiven. If you may be wondering, if I do ask God to forgive me and I repent, what does it feel like? What does that feel like to be clean? Well, the psalmist David wrote this in Psalm 103. And if you don't know King David, he's stuffed up a lot. I feel like I'm in good company with David, you know. He just constantly in his life, he'd do good and then he'd do bad, do good and then do bad. And then he really stuffed it by having an affair with another man's wife. And then to try and cover his tracks, he gets that guy killed. Not a great rap. And God gets a hold of him through a prophet and he becomes repentant and goes through a lot. But he pens this about forgiveness when he knows that God has forgiven him. Psalm 103, 1 to 12. Praise the Lord, my soul, and all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. If you feel like your life's in the pits right now, in a dark place, he wants to redeem you from that place. He wants to give you a fresh start and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Maybe you need to be renewed today, a fresh breath in your lungs, because you feel like you're downtrodden, you feel like you're aged, you feel like you have no energy. God can restore you today. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That is the character of the God that we serve. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He's not a big God with a stick going, I'm going to belt you. He's like, I want to love you. I want you to be a new creation. I want you to start fresh. I want to wash you clean. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Today is a good day. Today is a good day. And if you've never received the love of Jesus, my gosh, for those in this room that have accepted, you know that moment when you receive the love of Jesus. Don't ever forget it. It will change you. One touch of God, one moment with God, that love of Jesus will transform your life. And today, I want you to be able to experience that. If you want to come to Jesus today, it says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you say, God, you're it. I worship you. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You no longer have to worry about death. You are an eternal being with Christ. It's that simple. And right now, I want to pray. So let's just bow our heads. This is an open invitation to anyone in this room who's never received Jesus. An open invitation to anyone who wants to be washed clean, made new, a new creation, walk out of here with no guilt, shame. Nothing from their past can hold them back, knowing that Jesus has set you free from the sin and death in your life. You have to repent. God, I'm sorry. You have to come back to him. You have to let go and die to yourself and those things in your life. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. So in this moment, I'm going to count down from three. When I get to one, if you want me to pray a prayer with you that will just start this journey of faith, I want you to raise your hand towards heaven and say, Jesus, I want that. I want to know you. So three, God loves you so much. He died on a cross for you, and he rose again, and he'd do it all again just for you, because he loves you that much. Two, he wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to know you. He wants to speak to you. He loves you. He created you on purpose for a purpose, and he wants to reveal that to you. In one, if you want that today, just raise your hand across the room. Just raise your hand. I see that hand, young man. It's awesome, mate. And I see that over there too. At the back and on the right-hand side at the back, I see those couple of hands. We're all going to pray this together. Because there's people here that are reaching out to God and saying, God, forgive me. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you died for me and that you rose again. I repent of my past. I ask you to remove my sin. Wash me clean today so that I can follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give them a massive round of applause. You know, it says all of heaven is rejoicing right now. For the 5 or 6 of you went, that's me. I just want to follow you, Jesus. For those who put up their hand too, I just want to point it out there. We're going to start baptizing some people right now. But if you want to get baptized today, we can get you a shirt and we can do it today. What I love about the early church is that there was no kind of bunk, you know, like let's try and make them jump through a million hoops. It was like, I choose Jesus, let's get baptized. What I want to do right now, I'm going to invite every one of those that have decided to get baptized today to come up the front. If you can come up right now, up on the stage, give them a round of applause. So what I want to do before we actually get into baptisms this morning is I'm going to ask each and every one of you a simple question. And the question is simply this: why have you decided to follow Jesus? What is it about today? Why have you decided to get baptized and decided this is the moment you want to tell everyone I follow Jesus? Billy, you're up first. Why have you decided to follow Jesus?
Because I want to wash away all my sins that I've done in my life and give my heart to God.
So good.
Yeah, I'm going to read mine out.
Okay.
I'm here today because I was anointed by the Holy Spirit 54 years ago, and I'll be 80 in 2 months. And I want to make this commitment of faith and loyalty to God my Father, to thank him for all he has done for me, for his protection, guidance, and for never giving up on me over the past 80 years. And this is my way of showing him my own love and commitment in these years, last years of my life.
Well done. Can I pass on to SJ? SJ, tell us why you've decided to follow Jesus, mate.
Because he's allowed me to be here today. And big thank you. Where are they? Big thank you to my family, my mum, everyone that supported me throughout the way. And yeah.
Awesome. Well done, mate. Well done. Levi.
Oh, well, I chose to follow Jesus, firstly because I actually got blessed to be raised up in a Christian home from my mum and dad. And then, one night at a youth conference, I just, saw God moving throughout the place, and it was just, yeah, overwhelming. It was so much power. And then I was like, yeah, this is the time where I want to, yeah, give it all over to God and like just follow him for the rest of my life.
Well done, mate. There you go. All right.
Hi. I just want to say, yesterday, and I mentioned this to Josiah, I felt like a 10-year-old kid on Christmas Eve. I just, like, every time I thought about today, I just, like, went shaking with excitement. Anyway, as like you were saying, you know, some were baptized and brought up as Catholic. I was by a very faithful Catholic mother. Went to church till she couldn't make me anymore. But about 7 years ago, I went
to Africa and volunteered in Nairobi. And I'd given up on God. I was actually really, really angry with God. And it was the experience over there, it was just undeniable. Jesus was everywhere, you know. Growing up, he was here, not here. But seeing people that had nothing, but the love for Jesus just never failed. And I was born again over there, which was amazing, and went to my first Pentecostal church there and haven't looked back and am still on a journey.
Lydia.
Okay, my turn. I think the only thing I ever knew from birth was Jesus, and I think through my ups and downs, I've just always based or always drew my strength and made choices based on my Christian values. And I think I'm still learning, I'm still going, and it's just been wonderful for me. Yeah, thank
you. And why baptism today, Lydia? Why have you decided this is the next step?
Well, I guess I've always wanted to do it here in Australia. I think I did it in Malaysia, I'm not sure. But I'm happy that I'm here. I have a new church family, and I just want to do it. I've been wanting to do it for a long time, and it so happened that it's on Easter, and great.
So good. Well, we are going to get you guys baptized. And when we do that, we're going to get everyone to, if you want to stand up and get around, if you want to just watch the screens, you can too. But we're going to celebrate these guys as they get baptized. So let's make our way down into that area and see this happen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.